good to have him here today, and he's going to be back again at the top of the hour. Hi, everybody. It is the Pat Miller Program. Don't forget, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, the Friday at 5 free-for-all, James Kitfield. He's a senior national security and foreign affairs correspondent for National Journal Magazine. He's written on defense, national security, foreign policy, all of that stuff that's kind of really important right now, and been doing it from D.C. for over two decades. He's the only three-time winner of the very prestigious Gerald R. Ford Award for distinguished reporting on national defense, which means, A, he knows his stuff, and B, he knows how to talk about it so we understand it. Let's bring him up on the Newsmaker line. He is there with us, James Kitfield. James, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Very good to have you with us. I want to talk about, first of all, this new book, In the Company of Heroes, the inspiring stories of Medal of Honor recipients from America's longest wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I will tell you, we are very veteran-friendly and veteran-loving around here on the Pat Miller Program, James. In fact, we're highly involved with Honor Flight of Northeast Indiana and a lot of other organizations which honor our veterans. So books like this, stories like this, appeal to me and appeal to our listeners. So when you wrote this book, and I know it's award-winning and all of that, I get it, but what was it? What was your purpose in writing this book? Was it to so we could get a better glimpse of more than just numbers of people that won awards?
But it was partly that. It partly was from a personal standpoint. I had covered these wars for a very long time, but from a sort of strategic 30,000-foot level, and had always wanted to tell some of the stories of the really impressive young men and women who were at the tip of the spear and affected by those strategic decisions. And I had my opportunity when the Navy Department called me a couple of years ago and offered me an exclusive interview with the most recent Medal of Honor recipient, which is a Navy SEAL named Britt Slavinsky. And I just found his story so dramatic, so compelling, and in the end, both heartbreaking but also inspiring, that I wanted to tell more of these stories.
Well, I can tell you right now, I'm going to get online here as soon as we're done, and I'm going to order my copy of this book. So, folks, why don't you get it too, James Kitfield, and it's In the Company of Heroes. And then there's a lot of things after that. But if you put in Kitfield and In the Company of Heroes, I'm sure you'll find it on Amazon or wherever it is that you get your books. In this, and in the understanding, James, that you have been to these places and you have talked to these people that have served, and some of them have been ceremoniously rewarded for great work that they did there, what do you think right now is the main thought that's going through the minds of them and should be going through the minds of all of us? And when we try to sit here and say, okay, you went to war, you went to battle, you've got a Medal of Honor, was it worth it? Was the U.S. being there worth it? And I think maybe in the way that we have exited or even failed for some to exit Afghanistan, I think this shoves this right to the front burner of everybody's consciousness, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I haven't gone back and queried the Medal of Honor recipients who I profile. They have their own podiums and they can speak for themselves. But I have talked to and written a lot about the Afghanistan withdrawal with both active duty and retired military. And I just got to tell you, it's a gut punch for them. And as you can imagine, if you expended blood, sweat, tears, lost comrades in that fight.
Yeah.
The visions of seeing the Taliban sweep back in are just, as one four-star general told me, just a gut punch. And there's just no shading that. It's just a terrible end to this conflict. But when they ask me, was my service in vain, my argument has always been absolutely not. I was a reporter in Washington on 9/11, and I spent the rest, 10 years plus reporting on that counterterrorism fight. And everyone I talked to who was a counterterrorism expert expected more 9/11 type attacks in the years to come. They thought that was inevitable. And it didn't happen because we sent our brave service members over there to fight them on their home ground, on their home turf, kept pressure on them constantly, decimated the leadership ranks of Al-Qaeda, decimated the leadership ranks of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, decimated more recently the leadership ranks of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And those groups all want to strike out at the far target, us and our allies, and they've been unable to do that because we were fighting them on their turf, and they were looking over their shoulders, and so they've kept us safe for two decades, and I think that is definitely not in vain. That was a noble exercise.
I think you're exactly correct. Let me go negative because I've never served. I was unable to serve because of back conditions and all that. I've always had tremendous respect for those who have served us in the countries that we've mentioned and in others. But when I look and I see, I mean, I actually had a Korean vet the other day in a restaurant. I was thanking him for his service, and he made some side comment about, well, at least I knew why I fought. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he wasn't disparaging the people that have fought. He said, at least when we fought in Korea, he says, when my brother fought in World War II, when we came home, at least we got out in a way that was still honorable, so people there and people here knew why we went. And I saw just real pain in his eyes. And I thought, that's horrible.
Yeah, you know, that is horrible. Couple of points. You know, we are still in Korea.
Right.
You know, I'm a half a century after that war. We're still in Japan and in Germany with tens of thousands of troops, you know, more than a half a century after those conflicts. So that was the tradition of leaving a stabilizing force behind to sort of solidify your gains in these conflicts. More recently, the Forever War narrative, took hold, and we didn't show the patience to stick it out. Now, that decision was made by two presidents, Trump and Biden, both of whose couldn't agree on anything, whether it was the time of day, yet they both agreed they wanted our troops out in a hurry. So, and 70% of the Americans polled agreed. So I always found, quite honestly, the military's argument compelling that we had gotten this down to a sustainable effort. The frontline fighting was being done by the Afghans. We were supporting them in the background with our air power primarily. And that we needed to maintain that until the Taliban either signed a peace deal or we would stay there like we have in other conflicts. And we just didn't do that. The generals made their argument. The two presidents said no. And here we are.
Did you, and this is almost asking you to be a little political, which is not why I brought you on today, but when you were watching the general and the secretary of the Pentagon, when you saw them before Congress the other day, I sensed that they were trying so hard not to say things that they didn't want to say. But I also got the sense that they almost had to call the current president a liar without calling him a liar, because he was saying, no, they never said anything to me about leave a contingency there. And by the time they finished their statement, it was pretty obvious they did make that statement.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't know if he had forgotten, or there's no reason really for him to lie about that, because it had been reported as why Stephanopoulos asked the question, because it had been reported that they had advised him to leave a residual force. So I can't answer the question of why the president said that, but I can answer that they did indeed are telling the truth when they said that they advised for a residual force of 2,500 to be left so that the Afghan government and security forces wouldn't collapse. And that advice was not taken. And, you know, they typically will not detail their conversations with a president for reasons you can imagine. Presidents aren't going to trust them if they think they're going to walk out and talk to the press. But when they're testifying to Congress, they have a constitutional duty to also keep Congress informed. Congress has the War Powers Act in our government and under our Constitution. So they offered their honest opinions, and that sometimes is uncomfortable for a president, but they have dual loyalties under
right.
the Constitution. So that's why they basically said, this is what we advise. And they said the president didn't take our advice, and they saluted and executed. You know, that's the way civil-military relations is supposed to work.
So the book is In the Company of Heroes, The Inspiring Stories of Medal of Honor Recipients from America's Longest Wars, both in Afghanistan and Iraq. Is there one story in particular, or just a thought that you seem to get from one person after another that has really stuck with you, that you came away from writing this book changed to some degree because you were able to spend some time with these people?
Well, when you ask that question, because there's 25 narratives in here, and each one is extraordinary in its own right. So it's like picking between your children. But the first one that launched me on this was a story of a Navy SEAL team leader, Britt Slavinsky, whose team was being inserted on a mountaintop in Afghanistan at night in the snow. And their helicopter on top of that mountain was ambushed, barely got away from the ambush zone. But one of their fellow SEALs fell out of the back of the aircraft crash lands, they survive that, get taken back to base, And they have to make a decision, you know, knowing it's a suicide mission. Do I go? We go back up on top of that mountain and try to retrieve our fallen comrade. And to a person, the team, Britt Slobisky, said, "That's my decision." And he told these five members of his team, and they all shook their head and said, "Let's get on with it."
Yeah.
And that was just amazing to me that they because it really was, if you knew the tactical situation, almost a suicide mission. And indeed, they lost one of the SEALs, lost his leg. Air Force combat controller was shot and presumed dead, but it turns out he wasn't dead, and he awoke after the other ones had retreated down the mountain, and he fought bravely by himself and sacrificed himself when the quick reaction force helicopter came in. He got out of his fouling position to try to give them cover and was shot dead. So there is just, it's Homeric, really, stories like that that are fulfilled in this book of just people who were faced with the tough choice, the dangerous choice, or the easy choice. They take the tough and dangerous choice because they're to live up to their creed of leave no man behind. And I just found that amazing.
It's more than just the stuff that we see in movies, isn't it? You know, I mean, I like watching the TV show SEAL Team, but it's more than just that. It's more than just a good line for a show. This really is how those guys think.
No, it's part of their creed, and these stories are filled with that. And it's not just their Medal of Honor recipients; it's the teams around them. I mean, it's in these units. There is so much valor, and I think it's one of the reasons these recipients of the Medal of Honor, you know, it's a weighty burden because it reminds them of the worst day of their lives when they lost friends and comrades. But they wear it because they want to bring attention to their fellow brothers in arms who also had amazing feats of valor in these stories. So, it's not just them. It's the whole all volunteer force is reflected in these battles. That just amazing, amazing people.
This interview that we just did with James Kitfield, it's going up on our website. So if you go to wowo.com, look for the Pat Miller program page, and when you get there, folks, you can find it there, or you can find it on my Facebook page, Wowo's Pat Miller. When you get to the page, like the page, because then that way, anytime we do something like an update with a very important book and a great guy like James Kitfield, when we know about it, you know about it. As soon as we're done, James, the interview is going to go up. I'm going to be running to Amazon, and I'm going to order my copy of the book because this is one that I definitely want to get and I definitely want to read. I encourage everybody else to do it, too, for your time today. Hey, listen, thank you very much for being part of the program today.
Pat, it was great to be with you, and thanks for promoting the book. These are important stories we should all know about.
Podcasts by Federated Media.